Now grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, it is a delight to join with you in worship once again after more than 30 years and on the joyous occasion of your 50th anniversary as a congregation. I'm here by myself since my late beloved wife and colleague, Pastor Mary Hansen, who served Lord of Life with me from 1984 through 1989. Mary departed this life on July 22nd, 2014, and she departed this life exactly as she would have wished, for she told me many times, "I do not want to linger. I want my life to end quickly." And she had a cardiac arrest, and she got her wish. And she was received into the blessed rest of everlasting peace and into the glorious company of the saints in light. I remember with fondness many, many things at Lord of Life. One of the things that I remembered was the music. One year we sang Bach's cantata, "Wacket auf, ruft uns die Stimme," "Wake, awake, for night is flying," a beautiful pre-Advent or Advent cantata by Bach, and that was one of my very special memories. And one of the things that has impressed me since I've been at all three services this morning is to hear the music in this place. You do indeed make a joyful noise, and that is absolutely, absolutely wonderful. And I commend you for that, because that communicates the joy that you have, the joy that you have in Christ, and you proclaim the message through the sound of music, which in my way of thinking maybe is an even more superior way than sometimes some guy standing up front blabbing at you in a sermon. Anyhow, let me tell you just a little bit about where my family is at. Our three children, Dawn, Heather, and Kevin, lived with their families. Dawn, our oldest, lives in Thedford, Nebraska, which is a county seat town of 184 people. It's out in the Nebraska Sandhills, and there's lots of sand out there, but there's not too many people. My daughter, Heather, and I live in Thief River Falls, Minnesota. Thief River Falls, Minnesota is located 72 miles from the Canadian border at 48 degrees, 12 minutes latitude. So we're way up there. And while I was gone, I missed out on a couple Sundays when worship service at the congregation that I serve, St. Pauli Lutheran Church, was snowed out. So next Sunday we have an annual meeting like you're having this Sunday. We actually postponed it from this Sunday so I could come here. So hopefully we will not be blizzarded out for our annual meeting. 50% of the people who live in Thief River Falls claim Norwegian ancestry, including yours truly. My paternal grandparents emigrated from Fredrikstad, Norway to Iowa in 1905. And it can be truly and accurately said that Thief River Falls is the place in America where Norwegians are the densest. Thief River Falls annually celebrates a Norwegian Heritage Week that includes May 17th, or a Norwegian 17. Mai, and that's Norway's Constitution Day. And in Thief River Falls, you will see during that week, you will see flags on the light standards in town. You will see American flags, and you will see Norwegian flags that week. We take those kinds of things seriously. Mary and I had the privilege of seeing the real thing in Norway in 2005. We went to Oslo while on Norway's Constitution Day on May 17th, and we had the wonderful privilege of standing just beneath the Royal Palace, and we watched the children's parade and the children's in their beautiful costumes and the well-costumed people wearing their national robes. And I understand that in Norway, many young ladies, after they are confirmed, receive their national costume. And these are very elegant costumes that cost literally thousands of dollars to make. It's a very stunning and impressive sight. I bring you greetings today from the people of St. Pauli Lutheran Church in rural Thief River Falls, where I have served as the interim pastor for 8.5 years. They've never made me permanent, but in the way our system works, when you're retired, if you're kind of filling in and helping a congregation out, you are appointed by the bishop for a term, and then the bishop reappoints you for another term and so forth if you've been good. So evidently I've been good. St. Pauli will be celebrating its 125th anniversary as a congregation on Sunday, August 2nd of this year. And so we're getting ready for that and looking forward to it. Today we're going to focus on that second reading that you heard read just a little while back. And the headline that captions the reading from 2 Corinthians is divisions in the church. So what kinds of divisions was Paul talking about? I'm convinced that St. Paul was one of the busiest human beings ever in the history of the world. He supported himself as a tent maker. He brought the message of Christ to many and founded numerous small Christian congregations. He stayed in touch with those congregations and provided guidance to these new Christians through letters and messages sent to them, messages which we listen to now and are guided by to this very day. And one question which has occurred to me many times, I wonder if Paul ever slept. Seemed like the guy never stopped working. The divisions that Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 1 are these. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel. And not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ may be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The center of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the message of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. As an apostle of Jesus, Paul was called to proclaim that message. He was not called to proclaim himself. It made no difference whether Paul, Apollos, Cephas, or any other early Christian missionary was the individual who baptized a specific convert. We are baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. All of us belong to Christ. As the feisty early Christians described by Paul in 1 Corinthians, we too in the 21st century live in times of conflict and disagreement. That is true in the United States of America, but it is equally true in other lands around the world. One of the things that happens to you when you have lived 76 years on this planet is that you're tempted to pine for the good old days, or at least to think about them. Some of those days were good. Others of them, not so much. I remember the 1950s, the years in which I grew up. I remember the 50s as a tranquil and peaceful time in which to grow up, a time when things seemed to move along very well, very smoothly. I remember the 1960s as exciting, chaotic, tragic, hopeful, and divisive. Each had their own blessings. Each had their own failings. Were I to leave you one message as Christians today, in the 2020s, it would be this. God has given you and me one mouth, two ears. Let us use them proportionately according to God's gift. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.